Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Now, usually we put Jesse on the weekend show, but I wanted to mix it up a little bit this week, give him his own daily editorial, and hope that there is some more discussion around what we have to talk about with Jesse. To kick it off, Jesse, let's just recap this year so far, which is January. And January was a good environment for pretty much every market. We focus a lot on resources, but you can look to tech stocks. You can look to pretty much everything else outside of the dollar. And, well, January was good. It seems like we're off to a good start for 2023. But that's also in the face of consistent bad economic data. So make sense of this, Jesse.
Well, this has been, you know, it's really the riskier things you can imagine have rallied the most, right? You have the NASDAQ, which is kind of the higher beta end of the stock market, had its best January since 2001. And I think that we're seeing a very comparable episode right now, where you have this period where the Fed has been raising rates. You know, a lot of these tech stocks have been absolutely destroyed over the past 2 years now. I mean, it was really early 2021. We had that meme stock blow off top. Those things are, a lot of those stocks are down 90% plus. And that's very similar to what we saw in the dot-com bust from early 2000 to 2001. You had about a year of, very severe damage in a lot of these, high flying tech stocks. And so, they say the strongest rallies occur in the context of bear markets. And so this is one of the strongest rallies, strongest Januaries we've seen, like I said, since 2001. That was a bear market, and that was a horrible time to be getting long risk because, as Jay Powell said yesterday, monetary policy works with long and variable lags. It takes time for this stuff to play out. And I think that's why he was, basically not as eager to push back against the rally in risk assets, is because I think he understands that monetary policy is starting to work and it does take time. And, the stock market, is very ebullient right now, just as it was in early 2008 when the Fed had, stopped raising rates, in fact, even started cutting, but before the real damage to the economy had begun to materialize. So I think we're in this interesting kind of middle area between where the majority of the tightening is behind us, but now we're going to see the effects play out in the economy.
Yeah, Jesse, it is interesting because we were talking before we started recording. We could be in the pause before the rest of the storm, kind of the eye of the storm, where we had a rough patch, obviously, in 2022 for most markets. That was in the most aggressive tightening cycle we've seen the central bank do in decades. But now we're kind of in this lull period where there is that hope. And you put out a missive recently, and it was titled, "The Massive Momentum Structure in the Stock Market is Breaking Down Part Due," referencing some chats you've had with your buddy Michael Oliver on momentum. But there was a key phrase in there at the end that he said, it's not oversold, it's not overbought, it's just hanging in there with hope. And the fact that it's hanging in there with hope, you had mentioned that investors and bulls better hope the current rallies continue, taking the momentum back up in the bull market that existed in 2010 through 2022. Do you think that there is a reality where we go back to that kind of momentum that we saw from 2010 to 2022? Or is this that middle part of the storm where you expect another leg lower in the markets?
Well, that momentum chart is something I'll be paying a great deal of attention to, because it represents what momentum looks like during a bull market versus what it looks like during a bear market. And in a bull market, you can see essentially this chart represents price relative to the 36-month moving average, a very long-term moving average. Price remains above that from 2010 until last year. Prices were above that moving average. And so this chart represents that channel of price above the zero line, above the moving average. In September of last year, we broke down below that moving average, and now we're testing it from below, which, to any technician who's studied technical analysis at all understands that when you have a breakdown and then you test that area from below, that's usually a very poignant time to be paying attention, because either prices are going to break back above that moving average back into kind of bull market territory, or what we're seeing right now is just kind of the last hurrah before the next bear move lower, which I think if that's the case, then the next leg lower for stocks is going to be, you could potentially be significantly more violent than what we saw last year. I think that's probably the case. That's the way the macroeconomic stuff is pointing, the way fundamentals are pointing. I'm talking about earnings growth. And, you know, the way that a lot of these long-term technicals are still pointing. So from where I sit, I think that's probably the higher probability.
So if we're making some comparisons to the last couple bear markets, the big ones, let's say 2008 and in the early 2000s, what did happen was there seemed to be one main sector that crashed and just took everything down with it, that whole contagion effect. Jesse, what do you see as setting up as a major impact to the broad markets when it comes to individual sectors? What is most at risk in your eyes?
It's these things that are suffering, or not suffering, but benefiting from short covering right now, right? I mean, that's how you get a lot of these stocks up. I mean, Carvana is a stock that I've actually been trading from the long side over the last few months. It's gone from, you know, $3.50 a share to 20 in the last few months. And the only way that happens is if you get massive short covering. And it was, you know, 50%, more than 50% of the float sold short. And so shorts are now, you know, running for the exit. And so I think that's, you know, part what's driving this. There's still some animal spirits out there. People think that this is a great chance to buy the dip. They have the fear of missing out, that they're going to miss this bottom, like they maybe missed the 2020 bottom during the pandemic. And so there's a real kind of, you know, fear of missing out, you know, that's been driven by all of the great buying opportunities in stocks over the past 10 years plus. But things that, you know, the underneath the fundamentals are much different today than they were back then. And so I think this is not a great buying opportunity, just the opposite. You know, I think this is Mr. Market giving you a gift to reduce exposure.
Well, just along that theme, Jesse, you know, we have seen a big bounce in the things that were trashed the worst over the last year and a half. When you look at things like meme stocks being back on the menu again for people, cryptocurrencies having a big run. I mean, nobody can deny that Bitcoin and Ethereum have shot higher, as has the rest of the space. Even the crypto miners that were left for dead have shot higher. We've seen the tech growth stocks ramp back up again. And even some of the stocks that were dead that were down 80, 90% have had big rallies. Even if those were short covering rallies, are some of these investors getting excited with the risk on environment because they just don't have that frame of reference historically where these bear market rallies that typically you do want to lighten up on before the next leg lower? Is it just that they don't have that memory?
I think that's right. I mean, I think every, you know, bear market has a fresh, you know, if you think about it, we haven't had a bear market since the great financial crisis. And so if anybody has any familiarity with a bear market, it's that. But that was actually, you know, an anomaly. You know, as you were saying, Corey, about the, you know, there's one sector that takes everything down with it. You know, the dot-com bust was really different in that there was more, and I think it's more similar to today, where not everything went down in the same way. I mean, you had these stomach-churning plunges followed by short-covering rallies in a lot of these, you know, high beta names like we've had over the last year. But you also had a rotation to value where a lot of, you know, really cheap value stocks that were kind of left for dead in the late 90s came back to life. And I think that's more along the lines of what we're seeing today. Like, you know, energy is a good example of that last year, where it was literally left for dead in 2020 and made a huge comeback over the following 2 years. And so I think it's really less of a correlated market right now and more of a value does well while growth gets hammered. Now growth is rallying and as people kind of abandon value, and we'll have more of this, I think, rotation, you know, driven bear market than a, you know, everything goes down altogether.
Isn't that a better bear market then? Sounds like a healthier bear market. Plus, it doesn't sound like a bear market that would be necessarily as devastating as the last couple.
Absolutely. I mean, the financial crisis. So I went into the financial crisis with my major bear market experience being the dot-com bust. And I thought, you know, just stick to value stocks and, you know, buy some of these cheap things, you know, in early 2008. And, you know, when everything crashed at the same time in fall of 2008 and again in the spring of 2009, early 2009, sorry, January, February, it took everything down with it, because the threat of the financial crisis was that the entire global financial system was going to collapse. And so I don't think we have the same, you know, we clearly don't have the same driving factor today. What's driven this bear market is the opposite of what drove the blow off top in 2020, which was rates go to the floor, Fed prints $5 trillion, $6 trillion in new money, and risk assets go to the moon. Now, you know, we've seen a reversion of that, right? The Fed is shrinking the balance sheet. They've been raising rates dramatically over the last 12 months. And so we're seeing basically a reversion in those valuations. Now, I think the next leg of this bear market is going to be, a decline in earnings. It's going to be a true fundamental driven bear market, not just an interest rate and Fed policy driven bear market. The market right now is celebrating because it thinks the Fed's going to be cutting rates later this year. I think the market's probably right. I'm talking about those Fed funds futures markets and things. Stock market, I think, is wrong, because if the Fed is cutting rates later this year, it's not going to be because we're having a beautiful soft landing. It's because the economy is really rolling over in earnest. It's clear that we're heading into recession, if not in recession already, and earnings are going to, decline dramatically in that environment. That's not bullish for stocks. Typically, from the first rate cut, is a very bad time to be buying stocks. It's usually, 18 months or 2 years later after the first rate cut where stocks really find a floor. So I think we're in this kind of middle area, and it just takes time to play out.
Yeah, people have to ask themselves, if they were cutting rates later this year, what would that be for? And it would be a not so rosy picture. So maybe some of the stocks are getting a little jubilant here because of the idea of, hey, the Fed's going to be cutting rates, but they're not asking themselves, why would they be cutting them if they were to do so later this year? But you mentioned the shift from growth to value. And we did see that in the energy space last year. Overall, we did see it also in consumer staples. They did well. We saw it in utilities. And we did see it to some degree in the precious metals, Jesse, where gold was flat on the year, in a year that most things were down. Silver was actually up 3% on the year. The precious metals have had a pretty good continued run into the first part of 2023. Gold in the 1930s as we speak. Silver still hovering on either side of that 24 magnet. What do you make of the precious metals market? Would it continue to get a bid in that kind of environment if we did see the Fed cutting for, let's say, a prolonged recession? Could the precious metals continue to hold up as a value sector?
I do think so generally. I think in the very short term, the dollar is oversold and momentum is waning. So I think the dollar could be ripe for a rally in the short run. That would be, go along with kind of another risk off period. And, that could be, because everything's rallied together, everything could, go through a correction kind of at the same time with the dollar rally. But over the, longer term, over the next few quarters, I do think this peak that we've seen in the dollar is probably another major peak. And so the trend is now lower. That's, bullish for commodities generally, I think especially for precious metals and for oil prices. And I think, these stocks, still these commodities type stocks, energy producers and precious metals miners are priced as if we're going to see all these commodity prices go way back down. I just don't think that's the case. I think that's part of the reason why Jay Powell was reluctant to be too hawkish yesterday, was he can't afford to bring inflation all the way back down. He can't afford to raise interest rates really any further than they have. There's just too much federal debt out there. And so they want inflation to remain, relatively elevated. And it's bearish for the dollar, and it's bullish for commodities, precious metals, energy, et cetera.
So, Jesse, where should some of these precious metal stocks be priced? Because we have heard that, they're factoring in $1,500 gold or $1,400 gold. But it is a different environment with higher inflation. Margins have been compressed. How do you go about valuing these gold stocks?
It's a good question. The way I value them is just look at kind of sustainable cash flow, just like you'd evaluate any other business. And I think the way that generalist investors look at, commodity type producers is that the stock should be really cheap at the top and really expensive at the bottom. Kind of, you know, that's how you should generally look at a, you know, at a cyclical type company, right? When things are going great, earnings are through the roof, you really can't pay a high multiple because you know that at the bottom of the cycle, earnings are going to be dramatically depressed. And so I think that's why, you know, a lot of investors are really only willing to pay a small multiple of cash flow or earnings for the energy stocks or for the, you know, gold, you know, precious metal miners. But I think when these prices, I think oil price is probably especially going to head higher over the, you know, course of this year. Gold probably will do the same. You know, by year end, I think the prices of both could be significantly higher. If that's the case, then investors are going to say, well, heck, we can't, you know, we just look for, you know, paying, you know, 4 or 5 times earnings for these things, because if these are sustainable commodities prices, you know, maybe a 10 or 15 multiple is more reasonable. And that means a doubling of a lot of these stock prices from where they are. So I think there's kind of an epiphany that's going to happen with a lot of these things when they realize the Fed is not necessarily committed to bringing inflation back to 2. They want it to come down, but they're not willing to do whatever it takes to bring it there. So inflation is going to stay relatively high. There's a lot of other factors, too, that are kind of working in inflation's favor. And that's going to support the prices of things like oil and gold. And so the producers' stock price are going to have to be reevaluated. And the longer these, you know, commodities prices stay high, you know, the sooner we get to that kind of bullish epiphany.
Well, Jesse, if commodity prices do stay high, and if the dollar is in a larger, weaker downtrend pattern, as you mentioned, even if it has a short-term rally that pressures commodities longer term, if it does stay weak, when we look at things like the base metals, like Dr. Copper, I know you've mentioned in the past you do a copper to gold ratio chart or a copper to S&P ratio chart just to see what is the strength of the underlying economy. We see the same thing with nickel, with iron, with aluminum, with tin. What's your outlook on the base metals in the kind of environment where we may have a recession, but we may still have inflation and a policy where people want more of these critical minerals?
Well, you know, I think the main thing you got to look at with, yeah, you know, there's two real drivers, I think, of metals like copper. One is the reopening of the Chinese economy, and that's bullish. But I think then also you have this, you know, the green revolution, and it's going to require a ton of, you know, these types of metals to make it happen. And so, you know, copper to gold ratio, you know, peaked 2 years ago. And has been rolling over ever since. I mean, we've had a kind of a counter trend rally over the last, you know, 6 months or so, but it's rolling over again recently. And I think this is, you know, it's suggesting that interest rates are too high. And I think the fact that stock investors aren't really looking at the bond market and saying, hey, you know, interest rates have come down significantly, right? We were over 4% on the 10-year, and now we're under 3.5%. How does that happen? Well, that happens when not only the prospect forward, you know, inflation starts to come down, but economic activity starts to come down too. So I think there are these conflicting currents in the short term where, you know, the Western economies are probably headed for recession, if not in recession already. That's going to pressure, you know, prices. But China's just now reopening, and that's, you know, that's bullish for the global economy. And as a, you know, probably the largest consumer of copper, that's going to probably support prices. So, you know, it's almost as if, you know, the major powers that be in the world have kind of tried to coordinate this, where, you know, say to save the global economy, let's keep China shut down until the Western economies go into recession, and then we'll reopen, and it'll, you know, it won't be too much damage to the global economy. But yeah, I think the longer term outlook for base metals is still very, very bullish. We're in the early innings of a major super cycle. In the very short run, you know, recession's probably not bullish.
Okay, so Jesse, a lot of moving parts here. We've talked about a lot of different aspects of the market and dove into the metals. In terms of what matters moving through this year, you're going to be paying the most attention to actual market moves as those do try to look forward? Are you going to paying attention to economic data? What are you going to be looking for?
You know, I think I'm looking, because I'm mostly a stock market guy, I'm looking at earnings, and I want to see signs, you know, that earnings are going to start supporting, you know, stock prices, or vice versa. And, you know, my number one thing that I look at for this is there's a 2-year lead on corporate earnings from a composite. We've talked about this, I think, several times before, the dollar, interest rates, and oil prices. When those three factors are rising dramatically, it creates huge headwinds for earnings and the economy going forward. Those obviously, right, from 2020 to 2022, we saw a huge rise in oil prices, interest rates, and the dollar. So that's a 2-year lead. So over the, that suggests over the next year to 2 years, we should see, it should be a very difficult period for corporate earnings and the economy. I think we're just in the early stages of that. You know, I mean, we saw Meta's earnings last night down 50% year over year. And, you know, people buying the stock. I think today will be even more telling to see Amazon, Apple, Alphabet. These are the big boys. Alphabet probably is the best barometer of digital ad spend. You have Apple hardware. Hardware has been terrible. Intel and Microsoft have told us that it's terrible and it's going to be terrible for a prolonged period of time. And Amazon with cloud and also online retail, it'll be, these three earnings will be very, very telling. And I think key to the next leg in the markets in the short run.
All right, Jesse, always great chatting with you. Thank you, as always, for joining us and sharing some of your insights. I'll post a link to the Felder report below this interview. That's where you all can get up to speed with what Jesse is writing on a very, very regular basis. Jesse, thank you again for your time. We'll chat next month.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.